This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, listen. I didn't ever think that this was a big deal, but turns out it really is. There are child brides all over this continent. And it's 2017. Check your watch. Look at the date. It's December 2017. Could you ever imagined that there would be a need to talk about child brides in the year 2017? Well, someone who knows all about this and knows all about similar associated problems on the continent of Africa is Professor Deirdre Byrne. She's the chairperson of the UNISA Africa Girl Development Program, and she's here with us this morning to talk about a whole lot of things. I'm very, very pleased to see you, Deirdre, and thanks for coming to talk to us this morning on a rainy day like today.
Morning, Gareth, and thank you for having me on the show.
Sure. Serious stuff, huh? Child brides. I had no idea that this was even an issue in the modern world. I thought this is something that people were dealing with in the 1500s and the 1700s maybe, but that most of us had, I don't know, that we'd become a little more evolved and mature and sensible about the way that we treat each other. You mean girls are going into slavery, essentially?
Basically. I'm afraid that's more or less what it boils down to, and there's a very high prevalence. If you look at the statistics, in the Central African Republic of Niger, 62% of girls under the age of 18 are married.
Girls under 18?
Under the age of 18.
62%?
62%. That's sort of two in every three.
Now, is this religious? Is it cultural? Is it legislated? How does this happen? Which society would consider this to be an appropriate way for young women to be bought and sold and to be forced into things that they might not necessarily be even old enough to decide they want?
Well, you've really hit the nail on the head when you said bought and sold, because I believe don't really know the motives for doing things like this, but I believe that most of the motives are economic. And I think, because if we go into South African legislation on the matter of marriage, people under the age of 18 may not get married unless they have the permission of their parents. But for a girl, she can get married with married without her parents' permission if she's older than 15. So it means that a man who's over 18 can marry a girl who's 15 without her parents' consent, and then they enter into a contract which is recognized by the South African legislature. Also, remember, under traditional marriage.
We actually spoke about this the other day, which is why I wanted to get you in here. Remember, Mabs, you were telling us that story about how there are some countries that have different ages for boys and for girls when they can consider it the age of consent.
Yeah, and they kind of looked at it from a global perspective, and really the trend was that the younger the girl is, the better off that she gets married at that younger age.
Yeah, whereas with boys, they tend to give them an extra few years.
Yeah.
So it's almost as if they either want young brides, and there are a bunch of creepy, you know, predatory men out there who make these rules, or that they think that boys are a lot more stupid, which may have merit, but we'll leave that alone for a second. Isn't it possible also, because if it's economic, as you say it is, and we take the whole continent into consideration, is it possible, though, that, you know, in some countries where there isn't necessarily this idea from a religious point of view, and in this case a Muslim religious point of view, that, you know, Muhammad had his first bride and she was 9. I think Aisha was 9 when he married her. That this doesn't happen in countries that are as economically desperate as Niger, but where they necessarily don't have as much of a widespread acceptance of Islamic law.
I actually don't think it's so much Muslim. I think it is patriarchal. And I think South Africa is a very patriarchal society.
So what are the numbers here?
Looking at 91,000.
91,000 child brides.
That's the number of girls between the ages of 12 and 17 who are either married, divorced, widowed, separated, or living with somebody as husband and wife. So it's quite high. The highest incidence is in KwaZulu-Natal, where the numbers are over 25,000, followed by Gauteng, where the numbers are over 15,000. And I think the notion that it's good to marry a girl between the age, a prepubescent or an early adolescent girl, is just very problematic. Because, there are ideas of possession here. Now, I'm somehow more of a man because I have an attractive young girl as my wife. And
what, how old are these
position.
Husbands? I mean, do they range quite a lot or are they usually older men?
They're older.
So these are older men, what, 40s, 50s?
30s to 50s.
And they marry girls in their teens.
12 to 17.
I mean, that's just...
That's horrendous.
So when men resort to biology, their biological makeup, and they want to explain to you about how, oh, but, you know, a prepubescent or a pubescent teenage girl then is the perfect child bearer for me. I mean, are we at the point now where we can just say, listen, just stop talking nonsense. You're looking for ways to excuse...
Antisocial behavior.
A pretty disgusting behavior.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I would really say all kinds of things to such a man. I would say, you know, because men say, well, you know, we have urges and they are inevitable and they're unstoppable and so on. Women also have urges and they don't seem to be inevitable and unstoppable.
Like the urge to not have to marry someone who's your grandfather's age.
Well, something like that, yes. Oh. But, I mean, women also have sexuality. Women also experience desire, and even young girls do.
Sure.
But this notion that I have to have a teenage bride, there's nothing have to about it at all. And I think I would just do exactly what Mub said. I would just say, get over yourself. You're talking rubbish.
Are there any studies that have been conducted around what sort of agency a very young girl like that might have? Because the reason we have an age of consent, and the reason that we prefer in most civilized places in the world to not have child brides is because these girls really don't know what they're getting into when this happens to them. There may be all kinds of cultural or traditional things that have gone on that inform them that this might be a good idea, but those might just be, in point of fact, wrong.
Correct.
And they haven't been given a chance to explore the world as adults with the ability to make their own important decisions about very, very big things like marriage.
Mm.
I mean, do we know anything about this now? Have we got studies in biology, studies in psychology?
There are studies in brain maturation, which indicate that the brain matures sort of throughout adolescence and reaches full maturity at the age of about 25. Which means the prefrontal cortex, which is the part of the brain situated at the front of the forehead, which is where emotion and decision-making reside, only matures at the age of about 25. So these girls who are younger than 17 or 18 cannot actually make rational decisions, literally biologically and neurologically cannot make a rational decision, much less an informed decision. And if we look at the prevalence, we're looking at quite a high prevalence in rural areas,
yeah,
where typically young girls are not educated because of a patriarchal notion that one must educate the boy child and not educate the girl child. So she wouldn't know anything about her rights.
And a girl is just a means of bringing Lobola into the family usually.
Yes.
So, you know, a girl's considered like, oh no, we've got a girl. We should have had a boy.
Well, families tend to view sons as being a way of enhancing the family resources.
Mm-hmm.
So a son is somebody who, oh, good heavens, thank goodness we had a son. The son will grow up and bring money into the family and help us to improve our economic situation. Whereas a girl, as you say, is going to bring Lebola into the family, but then all of her skills will just benefit another family when she goes and gets married. So a girl is seen as a drain on resources. And so in India, in one of the poorer provinces in India where there's a high incidence of child marriage, there's an organization called Breakthrough, which is working to help families appreciate daughters so that they don't do these kinds of things. They don't agree to marrying their daughter off at the age of 12.
It seems almost ridiculous to those of us who have the fortunate position of being, you know, exposed to a world of agency and of empowerment and emancipation of women, because we can get into debates around the glass ceiling, or we can get into discussions around whether or not women and men are given equal opportunities in the workplace or any of that stuff. But it almost seems trivial by comparison with stuff like this, which is so fundamental to these people's lives from that point on, and also to the whole idea, the whole notion of gender equality. This strikes at the heart of it. This seems almost where we should be putting most of our work and effort in, and not worrying about these other things, as much as they're important, with the same degree of outrage when we read about them. It seems people are more outraged when they hear that a female engineer is being paid 5 cents less than a male engineer, but there are women being sold into child bride situations. Mm-hmm. Like there's an obvious order of priority here that we need to pay attention to.
Absolutely. And I mean, those, if either party is younger than 16, it's statutory rape.
Mm.
So if a man has sex with a girl who's younger than 16, it's statutory rape, and it's a criminal act, and he can be prosecuted. So those men who are having sex with those girls, even if they're married, they're committing statutory rape. But now the girls don't know that, and their families don't know that, because they're 10 to 1, they're very badly educated. They don't know these kinds of things. So there's an urgent need to educate, to get these facts out there and let people know what's going on.
All right. And then the role of society, of culture. I mean, in culture, is there a way that this is made acceptable?
Absolutely.
Culture, you get away with a lot in the world today if you could say it's my culture to do something.
I'm afraid you do. And a lot of traditional cultures will say things like, in our culture, not so much it's okay to marry a girl at the age of 12, but a girl's destiny, sort of a Freudian anatomy's destiny thing, is to bear children and look after the home and take care of the family. And that's what she's there for.
Mm-hmm.
You see, she has
no say in the matter.
But she's not there to do anything in society, be a rocket scientist or a biologist or a CEO or anything important like that.
But then we hear our politicians saying women this and women that, and, you know, we should have a woman president and all this kind of thing. But these are very often the same male politicians who try to engender this nonsense, if you pardon the use of the word engender, in their own society back home.
Well, how many wives and children has our current president got?
Yeah.
And 21 at the last count, children?
He would appear to be in favor of collecting women for this purpose.
Mm.
He would appear to be in favor also of producing children for this purpose.
Gareth, I've gone a bit off politicians recently.
Oh, you too?
Yes.
Yeah, me as well, Prof. Don't feel,
I think everybody,
don't feel too bad about that.
And I think politicians are quite cynical.
Mm.
So they will say what will get them votes.
Yeah.
I mean, Dlamini Zuma will say that she's in favor of women's rights, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But she won't be opposed to a handout from a shady business deal.
Sure. Now, this is a problem with culture and politicians, but it's also a problem with religion, and we've got to deal with this, mm-hmm. because the Christian church was only tamed from its very ugly excesses with regard to child rape very recently, and we know that the Islamic faith has got its own questions to answer in respect of the way it treats women and children, and there are probably other things in all the other religions that make women even less equal than the most democratic socialist could possibly hope for them to be in a modern society, right?
Absolutely. There's a church in Harare where the minister is arranging marriages with girls at the age of 2. So, and of course, there's a monetary kickback there. So the man will then say, I want that one. And she's sort of like 60 centimeters tall. Yeah. And then when she gets to the age of 9 or 10, the marriage will be solemnized. He'll take her to his house. And this is going on happily. So religion does have a large amount to answer for. And we need to speak to people, lots of them.
Well, I'm horrified that we have in this day and age to deal with this problem and to speak about it like this, as if it's something taboo and something that that people don't know about.
Mm.
Because in point of fact, this is something that should be on the top of everyone's agenda right now. If you know this is going on in your society, what can you do? What if you're a young girl? I mean, is there a way to empower yourself and to free yourself of this?
I vacillate between thinking that those 91,000 young girls are sort of basically lost. Because, I mean, we haven't done all the research, but I want to know how many of them have got children.
Hmm.
Those young girls are very fertile, and they're quite likely to have children, or they're quite likely to have more children than one. So then you then want to go take them and say, listen, what you're doing is wrong. Come here and go to school.
But they're not trapped with a family.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're responsible. And their parents probably don't have the money either. So they could almost be a lost generation. What I'm hoping to do by talking about this and putting it out there in the world at large, and thank you to your show for helping me do that, is to save the next generation.
I mean, it's not. This is not a sexy topic. This is not something that makes everybody go, "Ooh, it's how exciting and sexy." It's about a real social problem that I don't think a lot of people are comfortable talking about, because it forces them to look in the mirror and deal with their own religion, culture, tradition, their own attitude towards women if they're men. It's not pleasant.
Not at all. No, it really isn't. I mean, it also goes to the root of our society. And I first heard about this state of affairs from the Department of Women, and they were saying to me, if this continues, we are looking at a sort of implosion of South African society, because the children of these marriages are not going to be growing up in families with resources. They're not going to be going to school.
So we perpetuate the cycle.
So it's imperative. We need to stop it now.
Well, I'm very glad you could spend some time with us this morning. I'm sorry that it's not the most enjoyable thing to discuss, but it's your work, and thank you for doing it, because this is important work that we need to be paying attention to in South Africa if we want to change things for the better. Everybody who says they want to change things, this is something we can actually do. I mean, this is something we should know about. I didn't know 91,000 girls in this country were slaves.
Sure. And to think that Gauteng is
second
cosmopolitan and you know, so forward thinking.
Second most child brides in the country. Mm. Horrifying.
It's really alarming.
All right, Prof, thank you. Professor Deirdre Byrne, the chairperson of the UNISA Africa Girl Development Program. And good luck with your work, and I hope you do get a little bit of a break over the December holidays.
Thank you so much, and you too.
Yeah. Wow. What a thing. Thing to have to deal with every day.
Mm.
Huh?
This is CliffCentral.com.